This is the Let's Talk About It podcast. What is up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk About It, sponsored by no one. However, Tyler Stanton, if you would like to sponsor us, we will gladly accept it because I've been recommending the mess out of your book and people have been buying it. You are welcome. Signed, your marketing team, Juby Benton.
Oh, that's good. Well, now you got to tell people like who Tyler Stanton is.
You know what? If Tyler's not going to give me any marketing money, I don't know if I can.
No, for real. Come on.
No, Tyler Stanton is a lead pastor in Portland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Portland, yeah. And he last year, released a book called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. And it is probably my most recommended book to like anyone. I have sent so many copies to people. I have told people to buy it. And if they don't buy it, I force it on them and go on Amazon and send it to them. So, yeah, I just need Tyler to go ahead and sponsor us because your girl's been out here hustling on his behalf.
All jokes aside, it's definitely, I'm only halfway done. You finished it a week or two
ago. Yeah, I did.
I'm sure you feel very accomplished right now.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So my goal is 12 books this year.
Why?
So far, I am very behind.
Why are you trying to hit 12 books though?
I just, like, I've never been good at finishing books.
Okay.
Like, I've just sucked at that. Like, I would start a book. So, technically speaking, I started this book last October.
Okay.
And I just finished it. So, I just want to give myself, like, I want to start something and I want to finish it. I don't want to get halfway through it and be like, oh, that was great. But didn't finish it. Wasn't that great? So, and then I keep buying books on top of that. So, I got to start reading it. So,
well, I know it's not today's subject. However, I feel like we're going to talk about this anyways at some point, like down months to come. But what I guess maybe is just one quick takeaway or maybe something that stuck out or why what's been so impactful about the book so far?
So the book is about prayer, praying like monks. and then you sit in silence for 10 chapters. So that was very impactful. That's not what it is. I think for the first time in a really long time, like as Christians, we're always told to pray, right? Like read your Bible and pray.
Mm-hmm.
But prayer has always been like this daunting task, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny because while in the middle of the book, like God just showed me this like beautiful picture of what prayer and how simple it can look. Like it doesn't, like it was one of those, like, when did you lose this childlike wonder? Mm-hmm. And it was one night I was putting my niece to bed and she always likes to say a prayer before she goes to bed. And her prayers are just, oh my gosh, they're so amazing. Like there's been times I'm just like trying not to tear up. And it just helped me realize like, man, like prayer doesn't have to be this daunting thing because when she prays, none of it makes sense. It's straight up gibberish. Like the sentences do not connect. But like I remember sitting by her at listening to her prayer and I just had this mental image of Jesus sitting on his throne just at the edge of his seat, leaning over and looking at her with a like beaming face saying like, what else, baby girl? What else do you want to talk about? Really like, oh my gosh, you're right. That is great. Because one time she prayed, I hope you're doing well and you feel better. And I'm like, Jesus is sick.
Yeah.
But like,
she's done that same prayer too when I've put her to bed.
Yeah. But you know, God understood. And I just felt like he was just so like, just like, okay, what else? And I think this book kind of put that into perspective of like, it doesn't have to be our Father in heaven. Thou artest the Father of all fathers.
Yeah.
Thy name ringeth through the nations. And it just, put it into basic, just being like, Jesus, I hope you're feeling better, you know, and just making it more of a communication, making him more accessible.
Well, that the Lord understands what we're praying.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to make sense to everyone else.
But yeah. And you can even talk to him even in the mundane, you know, like one time I was like folding the laundry and I was like, I bet God would love to have a conversation right now. Mm. And I just talked and I was like, hey God, how's it going? Mm-hmm. You know, and just, I don't know. There was just, that book was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah. Like,
I'm looking forward to finish it again. Well, that'll be something we'll probably touch on later on in the year.
Yeah. So. How to pray like monks while living like fools.
Great book.
It is a great book.
For real. Check it out. If you are wondering what to read.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm
better
good
now.
So I was gonna say, skip context.
If you asked 24 hours ago,
or even more so, like a week ago.
Nah, 24 hours ago, even for me, everything sucks. People suck. Life sucks. Well, God's still good.
So really, that's kind of, you know, you and I were talking about that really just kind of during the week last week, and so I'll go ahead and start. So last week we did some training specifically in the context of growing as speakers and communicators. By the way, I want to address something real quick for people, because I'm sure you guys heard some sirens earlier. They're like, where in the world do they live? We're good. We live literally across the block from a fire station.
So, at least we're safe.
Yes, if something pops off, yay, we are good, fam.
The downside is when you're woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning from
wee. Yeah, exactly. But so I need to say, we did some training, and it's, and something that I've done multiple times, literally hundreds of times. And so the purpose of it is to grow as speakers, as communicators. And of course, people give you feedback. And I was anticipating that. And I was nervous for sure, because this is my first time doing it in a group of, you know, new individuals. Mm-hmm. And so I went up, and normally what I've learned about myself over the years is that my nerves kick in right before I'm about to go speak. And for me, it's the takeoff, mm-hmm, you know, but once I get that cruising altitude, as I like to call it, there's a rhythm and a cadence to speaking. It doesn't matter if it's 10 minutes, 2 minutes, 30 minutes. There's a cadence that you find, you know, once you speak. And so I know, like, if I can just get to that cadence, I'm good. So I did, finished it, and I felt fine about it. I felt fine doing it. I felt fine ending. Knew I would get some feedback. And some of the feedback that I did get, by the way, very healthy feedback.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was very specific. And so some of it in the past, you know, I've been identified as someone who does very good at teaching people, walking people through, explaining things. Some of the healthy feedback I've gotten in the past is, I know how to take lightning and put it in a bottle. And that's always been encouraging. Mm-hmm. At times though, what I learned on this day is that sometimes I can get so caught up in the teaching that I can lose the relatability, mm-hmm, or I can lose the relationship, specifically in a public platform, mm-hmm, you know, or from a stage platform. And so that was some of the feedback that was given to me. And so they were just saying how, man, you have such a gift of teaching. Sometimes when it's shorter time, don't forget, maybe just give one thing and think about how that can connect to them relationally.
Yeah.
And the tone was very loving.
Of course.
You know, very,
I was going to say, you're in a very loving space.
Yeah. And I'm saying all this, I'm giving the setup behind this to, because I want our viewers and listeners to catch something when I'm about to share. Everything they're saying, they gave me a lot of positive feedback as well as some constructive, you know, feedback. Mm-hmm. And in the past, because I've gone through this before multiple times, not just in this setting, but plenty of other settings, you know, both on the Army side, civilian side, church, so on and so forth. And usually I'm an individual that just naturally seeks out feedback because I want to learn and grow. And so when someone shares something with me, I typically take it. Mm-hmm. And if it bothers me, I maybe think about it for 30 seconds, no more than a minute, and that's it. But for whatever reason, on this day, I felt it.
Yeah.
So much so that it took me out of my game, I guess you could say, personally, professionally, spiritually, for the rest of the day. And so, of course, I came home that day, and you could tell that, you know, something was a little off. And so I just went up to you, and I said, babe, can I please talk to you about something? And of course, I told you everything I pretty much just shared right now. And but one of the things that I specifically said is I need to talk to you because I noticed something about myself, and it was an insecurity, mm-hmm. and it was flaring big time. And I said, I don't know why. And so I guess that's kind of today's topic is how do we deal with our insecurities?
Yeah.
And here's why this matters. There is so much that the Lord wants to do in us, with us, and through us. And it's going to require us knowing how to deal with things that are hidden, which is why they call it blind spots. You know, people say, pay attention to your blind spots. And so, of course, the question kind of becomes, well, how do you pay attention to your blind spots?
Yep.
This is part of the importance of having people on your side that you know that love you and are for you.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So maybe something we can do, and feel free, of course, to give me kind of your side of it, just what you noticed in me as I was kind of unpacking it. But maybe, I guess, part of my heart and goal today is to go through, what does it look like for us to address our insecurities,
mm-hmm.
and not be led by them,
mm-hmm. and be not, lost in them.
Yeah. And not be lost in them, but knowing how to pay attention to them.
Yeah. Because the truth of the matter is everyone has insecurity, even like the most profound, prolific speaker, writer, pastor, leader, everyone has a form of insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you let that show up, and how do you, or do you let that lead you?
Yeah. So I can tell you, when I sat down with you, we talked about it probably for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started processing with you, one of the things that I realized in the moment was here's what I guess that night made me think of. The first thing that's going to happen is when we notice our insecurities flaring, I would say the first symptom is defensive.
Yep.
Okay. We're going to get defensive, meaning we're going to want to defend why we do what we do.
Right.
Why we say what we say. And I say that to say to pay attention to that, because usually if someone points something out in you in which you want to get defensive, it's probably a sign that you actually need to pay attention.
Yeah.
And so as they're giving me this feedback, I'm not saying anything, you know, I'm saying, okay. And then I would repeat back what they're saying in my own words so that I can take it in even more. Because the goal is not just to hear it, just to hear it. Mm-hmm. The goal is to really receive the information that they're sharing. And here's the thing too, what I love about our team and the people that I get to serve with is I serve with people who really want us, they want to see us succeed. They want to see us win.
100%.
And so I might be getting ahead of myself, but the first thing I'd address about myself is that when you find yourself getting defensive, that's the same moment you need to be quiet, lean in, and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And a great way to do that is to regurgitate what that person is saying in your own words.
Yeah, but in a kind manner.
Right, right. And the more defensive you are.
Self-deprecating, yes, or yes, like yes, self-sabotaging,
right,
like not hurtful words, but really hear what they say and translate it.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, okay, if I'm understanding this correctly, this is what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And ask for clarity.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing too, in the moment, because they also highlighted my strengths.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot explain it, but the insecurities were just so high for me in that moment. All I heard was the weaknesses.
Yeah.
Because
you felt like you failed.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I want to be perfectly clear. Everything I was feeling in this moment is completely on me.
Mm-hmm.
I did not walk away from that offended at anyone, bitter at anyone, frustrated. I was frustrated with myself.
Yeah.
I found myself upset at myself, but it was not towards anybody. And so as I started unpacking this with you, that was the first thing. I said, okay, I had to get past the defensiveness, you know? The second thing is usually whatever flares up in your insecurity, the first thing you feel usually is not the thing that you're actually insecure about, or usually is not the problem. That's a better way to phrase it. So in the moment, what I was initially feeling is man, maybe I'm not a good communicator. Maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing that was coming to mind. But what I really realized is, as we started unpacking this together, because some of it was, hey, you can share a personal story. It's okay to get personal and share a moment that can feel more relatable. Mm-hmm. And the thing I told you was, I guess I don't think about that enough, because in my mind, I'm like, why in the world do I want to share my story? No one wants to hear that. Mm-hmm. And here's what I was really saying. That's not what I said the first time. Mm-hmm. But what I really said is, why would someone want to hear my story? What I really said is, I don't value my story. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is, though, when I'm listening to people, I love listening to people's stories. Yeah. Right? So there's a contradiction there.
Yeah.
Heck, I'll just out myself. The last two episodes we did, you know, when we shared our story, mm-hmm. you came up to me and said, hey, I said, I got an idea for the month of February, because, you know, Valentine's Day, it's the month of love, and let's talk about our story. I'm like, okay, yeah, we're talking about it for a few minutes and then going to something else. Like, no, that's the whole episode. And I literally said, who the heck is going to listen to our entire story? You're like, babe, people do it all the time. I'm like, okay, but, like, we're not people. Like, we're not everybody else. Yeah. And the other thought that I had in my head is, when you brought it up, is because in my mind, the people that we have done life with, that we do life with, in my mind, I'm like, they already know. Mm-hmm. And they follow this too. What more do they have to say? You know? So the funny thing is, the feedback that I got is that I do this in personal everyday life. I do it one-on-ones. Obviously I do it with you. I do it with our closest friends. I do it in pastoral care / counseling settings. But in my mind, I just didn't think, not that it wasn't appropriate in a public setting, I just didn't think it mattered.
Yeah.
And so I didn't do it. So as I had to say, maybe there's certain things that you might get feedback on in life. And the thing that you may not want to do, maybe part of the barrier struggle as to why you don't do it is because you don't value it.
Yeah.
But what if that's the thing you actually need to lean into more, mm-hmm. so that you can be better at whatever it is you want to grow in? You know, whether it's a skill set on the job, whether it's something you want to grow as a parent, as a spouse, as a teacher, just something in your own spiritual walk. What if the thing that people are addressing, that thing for you to grow in, you may not value it, but they're sharing that feedback for a reason, because they value it.
Right.
And I don't want to say that. Not that I didn't value our love story. In my mind, it was already out. It's been done. It's been said. But what I didn't realize is there's been other people that's been a part of our lives who have enriched our lives that I didn't realize still needed to be shared. And so, of course, we did the episode both on YouTube. Oh, by the way, y'all, we got a YouTube page, man. If you're just listening to the podcast, we got a YouTube page. So, and it's called Mark and Juby, actually. If you just look it up. But it'll be in the description of this episode, so that way you guys can watch us as well.
But, and you can see my Mufasa hair.
Your beautiful hair. It is not Mufasa hair.
I need...
I love your hair is curly.
I need also natural hair products companies to sponsor us.
But all that being said, though, and then when we did the Q&A following that episode, you know, kind of diving in more into her story, I was so surprised by the feedback that we got. And so I said it to say, I just want to honor you and thank you, because really I had to submit to you for that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see the value in it. And the feedback that we got was just very encouraging. Mm-hmm. And so I've been learning in a more public setting specifically, and reflecting for the past literal 7 days, man, what does it look like for me to be okay with sharing my story more? When I speak, whether it's in a preaching setting, a teaching setting, whatever that is. And what I really realized is, the more I was talking to you about it, is what started off as, man, I'm not that great of a communicator, turned into, I was grieving, who have I missed out on connecting because I wasn't relatable, mm-hmm. or I didn't share my story.
The funny thing about this is that you're actually the more open one out of the both of us. I am more like, I'll give you bullet points, right, you know, right. But you're definitely the one who's like, so like when you started kind of like telling me, like, no, I don't know if I want to do that, I was all like, Mark Benton doesn't want to share what? Like, it did throw me off. And it's because I know there are people in our lives right now who don't know certain pieces, you know? And that's some of the feedback that I got. They're like, hey, like, I knew you guys' story, but I didn't know this part, right? And part of the reason I want to keep sharing the small pieces of life is because one of the biggest frustrations that I've had as a brand new Christian was, and I think it's still a frustration I have, probably not to the point it was, you know, when I first rededicated my life. It was any church service you go to, any conference you go to, any talk you sit through, it's say yes to Jesus and look how great my life's been, right? I'm on a stage, I'm, you know, preaching, I'm teaching, but nobody talks about the in-between. Nobody talks about the details of just the suck of, you know, living this life and the things that you have to deal with. So that is why I think it matters. Like, I think it matters when you, God's given you a platform to say, hey, like, we might look like, you know, we know all the answers, but like, we've also had to walk through a similar journey. Like, it still blows me away that people not only want to listen to this podcast, but they ask questions. Like, it really does. And I've never more leaned into the Holy Spirit than when I do this podcast. One, like, every time before we record, I'm just like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Like, why are you making me do this? You know? But one of the things I always say is like, Holy Spirit, please keep my ears open to what it is that you want me to say. You know? So I say that, all that to say, like, the in-between matters, especially for the people who are walking through that right now. You know, you don't want to look at the idea of, wow, look at where they are, but never realizing, like, the things they had to walk. I mean, that's why we love Tim Ross as much as we do. Like, he talks about the in-between.
Shameless plug for a podcast that does not belong to us and we're completely unaffiliated with. Go listen to The Basement if y'all need to grow.
But if you want to sponsor us.
But yeah, no, go ahead.
No, so that's why I do think, I don't think it makes you unrelatable if you don't share, you know, but I, there are moments where it can feel unattainable. And you have such a gift of being a listener. The great thing about the problem that you were in is you want people to get to their next step. You never want to leave a conversation where people don't feel like they didn't get anything out of it. And you want them to get to their next step. So if that's a growth path, if that's joining a small group, if that's connecting them with someone, like, that's always like your end goal. But at some point, we have to realize that a next step is not always the step. Sometimes people just need to be heard out. It's I had this conversation with one of my good friends where I was telling her, like, hey, maybe God placed you where you are because these group of people that are coming to you, they just need a place where they can just be, like, you know, and I don't need you to tell me what I need to do next. I already have society. I already have the world telling me. I already have every other person in the world telling me what I need to be doing. But I just need a place to come to just, hey, I just want to talk about this. And I think just in doing that, you are actually fulfilling that desire you have of wanting to point people to their next steps and making sure they're furthering along. Like, that's your thing. You don't want to feel like anyone's been left behind. Like, you definitely have the no man left behind kind of mentality, right? So I think it's just, even in that, just being like, hey, sometimes that means just, hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
So there are two more things as you were talking that kind of came to mind that I learned about myself in the process is going back to that relationship piece and that I'm so focused on the next step. I mean, that's literally what I do here for our podcast as much as we can. What I realized as we were going through that, where that comes from for me is there have been so many times in my life where I'm informed with information, and weeks will go by, months will go by, and I don't know what to do with it because it's just an information dump. It's great information, but because it didn't seem applicable, meaning I didn't know if I could apply this in my life, in my mind, I was like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do with it? How is this actually transforming me? Can't remember where I heard this from, but a couple of years ago, there's a statement that said, we're one of the most over-informed, under-reflective generation in the history of mankind. Meaning we're just inundated with so much information that we don't do anything with it. Or sometimes we feel overwhelmed with it. And we feel overwhelmed with it because there's a difference between learning about something, like this is what it is, versus how do we do it? How do we carry this out? And so I'm passionate about the next step because the information is that we talk about or that we share, that we learn is irrelevant if there isn't something we can apply it with. But what I have to learn and realize, just because that's something that I've struggled with, I've unintentionally assumed that's everybody's struggle. And so, where I'm getting at is when you think through and you start reflecting through your insecurity, sometimes your insecurity can point to actually a gift. In this case, for me, it's both. It's I can teach and I have a gifted relationship. But also at the same time, your gift can get in the way.
Yeah.
In the sense that I have allowed my ability to teach from a public setting and thinking through natural next steps and practicality that I forget to bring in the relationship. And so what I would share and encourage people with is as you're wrestling through and thinking through that insecurity, ask yourself, is it tied to maybe a strength you actually have, but maybe the strength, it's still a strength. Like I'm not dismissing or putting aside my ability to teach, but what does it look like for me to slow down, not always have, as you said, a next step, and remind myself that there are other gifts that God has given me. And so I literally that same way I had an opportunity, called someone up and they literally just wanted someone to sit with. And so that's what I did. I just sat, listened. I asked questions just to learn more about their story and prayed with them. And they were so thankful.
Yeah.
And so it was a reminder of, okay, you know, it's my point is it's a both and. Sometimes you might actually have the thing that you need to grow in, but paying attention to it more. And so those are the two things. Sometimes it's just as you were talking, sometimes the thing that you're insecure about is pointed to something that you already have in you. You need to exercise it more. And sometimes that insecurity is actually coming from a weight that might stem back to your childhood, that might stem back to an unhealthy experience that you've had, whether it's within your family, whether it's with your friends, whether it's at the workplace, whether it's at your church, whatever it is. It might stem back to an event or a series of events, but have awareness of that because oftentimes you can lead out of that and not know it.
But okay, pause.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as simple as this thing showed up in your life. We had a conversation and then later on in the week you had an opportunity just to sit and be, you know, and not use like your gift of teaching or whatever. Right. It wasn't just that straight line. There were some things that happened in between that you specifically did of like, because one of the questions I asked was like, have you spent time with the Lord? Right. And there were some things you specifically did before that visit happened in order for you to get to that place. You know, it wasn't like boom, boom, a-bum. You know, there was
security guard.
Right.
All done.
Yeah. Next one, please. No, there were things that you had to do practically that are steps that anyone can do, I believe. So what were those steps for you that you did?
Yeah. So, well, the first thing I would say practically is I gave myself permission to feel it. When I walked away from that training, I actually kind of went away, just gave myself space for about 5 or 10 minutes. And I literally said,
he took, cranked on all the emo music from the early 2000s, started banging his head.
Wake me up inside.
Can't wake up.
Everyone after that generation is like, what in the world just happened? Shout out to Evanescence.
Evanescence.
Say that 5 times fast.
Evanescence.
Hey, pretty good. Hey.
Or Sixpence, None the Richer.
Yeah, right. But no, so the first thing I did was just like, Lord, we got to talk about this. Like this, what just happened?
Yeah.
And I remember literally getting emotional about it, both frustrated, again, all with myself. It wasn't even towards anybody. It was really towards me. And so the first thing I said was, like, God, what is happening? So I asked him, what is happening? Where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. And at first I didn't have an answer, but just the fact that I stopped and gave myself permission to feel it and started asking it. And so that was the first thing I did. And then I sat with it. I just allowed myself to feel bothered. And no, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stay here. So that was it. And then when I came home, of course, we talked about it. So the next thing I would say is, so one, go to God. As you go to God, feel it fully. Ask yourself, what is going on with me? Where could this be coming from? Where could this be stemming from? And a great question I've learned to ask myself, and even when I'm speaking with people, is what else? Mm-hmm. Ask what else at least 2 or 3 times. Because sometimes the first response you get is not it's a symptom. It's not the root. Mm-hmm. So then I came home with you and, you know, spoke to you about it, which means you got to find safe people to talk about this with. Obviously you are my safest place. And so, immediately, first thing I did, I put my stuff down, you know, literally I said, babe, can I please talk with you? And when I say, let me describe what a safe person is. A safe person is someone that's going to listen to you. Doesn't mean they won't push back, and it doesn't mean that they won't hold you accountable, but they're going to listen to you first. They're the person that's going to allow you to let it all out as is. And you did that for me. And they also asked questions, and that's what you did. You kept asking me more questions. And when I say this is how you really know they're safe. When we were talking about, you know, after I went through the whole conversation, that's what you said, babe, you're one of the most relatable people I know. And I started, what happened? I started crying, you know? And as you were about to keep going, because you were encouraging me and lifting me up. But before I let you, I literally, I don't know if you remember, I put my hand on your shoulder and said, let me sit with that. Because I needed to take that in. Mm-hmm. I needed to, I needed my soul to receive that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you allowed me to do. You allowed me to just absorb and take in words of healing that I did not know that I needed to hear. Yeah. And then I said, okay, go ahead. Which is weird to say. It's like, you stop someone from encouraging you? Yes, because I would actually say that I think that's something very basic. I don't think we as humans know that we can do that. Like, even when you're taking in something, like, because something is so good, like, it's like eating your favorite dessert. You don't want to rush through it.
Oh, yeah, I know. I totally miss that pie right now.
Dr. Love. What was it? Red velvet chess pie with, like, a brownie type thing? And that was so good. But, I mean, perfect example. We did not want that to end because Mm-mm. It's so good. And so I remember I had a moment where I was going to let you keep going. I said, no, that was it. Like, I needed to hear that. Mm-hmm. And so safe people are people that will build you up. They're still going to hold you accountable. And so that was some of the things I did. So you go to the Lord, allow yourself to sit through your emotions, ask the questions, what is happening? Where is this coming from? What else? Find a safe person. They're the people that are there. It's okay to not be okay. They're the place where you get to fall apart and not be embarrassed about it. Actually, that's a great question to ask yourself. Will I be embarrassed if my emotions show here? And if the answer is yes, that might not be a safe person then. And so, you know, ladies have a great girlfriend you can go to. Fellas have a great homeboy you can go to.
Or even like, will this person kind of make fun of me after all is said and done?
Yeah.
With about my phone. I was like, I remember that time you were just a bawling mess.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, listen, not everyone gets access. I don't care if they're family. Like it, not everyone gets access to that. I'm sorry. Yeah. They don't. If it happens to be your family, praise God. But not everyone gets access to the most vulnerable pieces of you.
Yeah.
And so then after we talked about it, I think that the next thing, going back, you asked me a question earlier. You asked if I had, you know, have I spent time with the Lord? That was your question. And my response was yes, but I have not listened to him. Mm-hmm. Because up to that point I had done my reading. I'd done a lot of worship. I'd done a lot of journaling too. Which is all great things, but I did not shut up and listen to God. Psalm 46:10, be still and know. And I did not make room for that. And my response to you too was I didn't make time. I didn't have time. I didn't make time. Mm-hmm. And so that same day I finished all my tasks. And, shortly after lunch, I basically went on a 30 minute walk around, the parking lot, mm-hmm. you know, where I'm at, which I normally often do anyway. So I do that to stay in healthy posture.
But I know one of your coworkers listens like, ah, that's what he was doing. We should keep an eye on him every time he goes out there.
And so that's something I do to just kind of get away. And even when things are going well, mm-hmm. it's just to recenter my mind.
I mean, that's just something you've always done for years now.
Yeah. And so I've learned to do that proactive. In this case, I had to do it from a posture of being reactive. Mm-hmm. So I just want to remind you, which is okay. If you have not spent time with God, God is not sitting in the heavens, like waiting to punish you. And that was the most beautiful part about it, babe. It wasn't, I never felt like God is waiting to send me on a guilt trip. It was, I couldn't wait to just be quiet and take a walk with you. So I can just, and sometimes you're not going to hear anything. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's not the point. Sometimes the point is just, do you know that God is with you? Because there, when you have full awareness of his presence, your awareness of God's presence just centers you. Mm-hmm. It centers Absolutely. Your soul. It just calms your mind. Sometimes you don't need to hear anything. So sometimes when you spend that time with the Lord in stillness, yes, there's a time to listen. Yes, there's a time that he will speak. There are other times it's like spending time with your best friend, you know, or your spouse. How many times are we in the same room? We don't say a word, but it's just, there's a comfort of, I just know that you are there.
Yeah.
And knowing that you are right here, we don't say nothing, but knowing you're right there, it just brings a comfort to me. Mm-hmm. And so that was the next thing I did. I practiced intentional stillness with the Lord. And you can play worship to help do that. But there's a difference between talking to God, reading his word, worship. By the way, it's a both and. Mm-hmm. It's not an or. But don't forget to, if you're wrestling with internal turmoil or your soul feels overwhelmed, chaotic, depleted, I would ask, how is your relationship with the Lord? Specifically, how is your stillness? Mm-hmm. How are you posturing yourself to just really be still before the Lord?
Yeah.
So those are some of the, I guess, practical steps that I kind of went through. I don't know what others do you have kind of from your own?
I was going to say, I had a rough week.
Yeah. So let's talk through that.
I was like, it's not worth that. That's good. Yeah. Like last week, I think the grief of certain things hit me in a way that it hasn't before. I definitely had some boundaries pushed. I felt disregarded. And I felt behind. And somehow I felt like, well, if I'm feeling all these things, it's all God's fault, you know? He knows exactly where I should be. And I just remember like day after day of going through the feeling and like literally Sunday morning as I was getting ready for church, you know, I was taking a shower and like tears just pouring out. And I'm like, is this what you want for me to stand in the shower and cry to you and tell you that I'm her, you know? And I think that's really what he wanted. He's just like, I need you to show, you know, who you are and what you're feeling, because he already knows it. He knows every thought that's going through. So
I got to tell you, by the way, I am so impressed and proud of you for it. It's funny because I've known you, you know, now going on almost 17 years. And this is the most I've seen you in touch with your emotion.
Yeah.
And I know
it's interesting.
I know, like, in your natural flesh side, you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
But it's been beautiful to watch you be so in tune with your emotions. Because I'm seeing the growth in it.
Yeah.
Truly. Thank you. it's admirable. And not only are you doing it more, you're talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know when it's happened half the time, but you tell me, you know? And it's,
yeah, because so I did beautiful. Surely did sit in the dining room yesterday, not yesterday, last week, like, I don't know why I'm crying. Tears won't stop.
And you, and Nicole, well, and though you had a tough week there, you had shared with me, you had tears. There was tears of anger and grief, but there was another time you had texted me. You had tears of gratitude, mm-hmm. and just thankfulness. And so it's just really cool to see you grow in that.
Oh, thank you.
You're allowing yourself to not just feel it, but specifically with the Lord.
Yeah,
like there's a difference.
Yeah,
like we can feel emotion, which is important.
Yep.
But you're allowing yourself to feel it, and you're inviting God. I commend you. It's beautiful because and I don't think you realize how, not just healing, but how beneficial it's been to you.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I want my relationship with God to matter the most. Like, I want to be so in love with the God of this universe that if that means giving up my tough girl look and just weeping in front of my Heavenly Father, like, I'm at a point where I'm like, let's go, you know? But yeah, Sunday I think was like rough, but also healing. And I remember telling God, like, I just don't feel like you're near, you know? So come to service.
Let's pause. Because you're hitting some good points. Because there might be other people right now that don't feel like God is near. What did you do then to kind of take yourself out of that?
I knew it wasn't actual. I have seen the goodness of God too many times in my life to discount where I am. And I remember, like, as I'm feeling that, he took me back to September when I sat next to this absolute stranger who started speaking into my life. And there's specific things that she said that I've had to go back to the last 5 months when things get tough. And I'm like, and I don't want to. Because I want it to be happening right now. I don't want it to be the waiting season. And I just remember I was in the shower just crying. And like the words, that conversation just came up in my mind. And I was just all like, oh, okay, whatever. And again, I knew it wasn't true. So I went to church, you know, and like, my second song, I'm like, nah, like, I'm not going to cry. Like, these people have me crying every Sunday. Like,
she's like the tear starts coming out the corner and she goes, slip it back in.
Okay. So one of the ways I do it, and I actually learned this from Aaron, who taught me, like, if you ever feel too emotional, cause you know, we both don't like to public cry.
Yeah.
So like we take our nail and dig it into our finger pad. So, like, I'm sitting in worship doing that, like, nope, we have cried enough, like, that's enough. And then the third song was an old one that said, draw me close to you, never let me go. I laid all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. help me find a way,
lead me back to you.
Lead me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I need. Help me know that you are near.
Yeah.
As soon as they said, help me know you're near. I said, can you please help me know you're near? I said, because it doesn't feel like a God. And then, if you guys know me at all, you know I love the song The Stand. Like, that is the song I want played at my funeral as, like, the last going out kind of song. As soon as they're done with that, they're like, they start playing the Stand. When I tell you I ugly cried, like, I literally, like, I haven't ugly cried like that in a really long time.
It's such a, well, what people don't know, it's such a, we won't go into maybe another time, but The Stand by Hillsong is such a monumental song in both of our lives that took place when it came out. And so it's amazing how music has the ability to take you back to where you were in life, but like all types of music, you know?
Because I know I'm not the same girl that I was when I heard it 16, 17 years ago, first time, right? Like when it first like took a hold of my heart, like, wow. Like, so I'll stand here with my arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm definitely not the same woman. I've grown. I've changed. I've, you know, all that. And then, of course, we're going through a really great series right now called Divinely Human, Divinely God.
So good. Yeah, no, you're right.
Divinely Human.
You're right the first time.
Divinely Human.
So good.
But I think for me, it was allowing the process to happen instead of shutting the process down, which I'm really good at. Like, I feel like we should be wrapping up. I know we've been talking for a while, but like, I'm really good at shutting the process down when it comes to my emotions, right? Mm-hmm. But it was allowing the last couple of months, I've just allowed the process to happen. I have learned to walk through my pain instead of going around it. I have learned to address it. I've learned to give it names. I've learned to say things like, man, that hurt me. Mm. Instead of saying like, F them all. None of this hurts me because I'm a G, you know, because that is my inner dialogue. Save, sanctified and all that, you know.
Like, as the Bible says, the flesh and spirit are constantly at war.
But like, that's always been my like me against the world kind of thing, right? And I think just allowing myself to walk through my feelings and being like, man, I am human. Man, that does hurt. Like, this is such a grieving process for me. And naming it and giving it an actual name other than just anger. So it's, oh, wow, Juby's angry. No, Juby's sad, but she's trying to cover that up with, or she was trying to cover that up with being the tough girl and being angry and all of that.
Which is a reminder to pay attention to, this goes back to the what else question.
Yeah.
Like that might be the initial emotion.
We're totally losing sunlight, by the way. So if the video gets dark, so sorry.
But it's if the, you know, whatever initial emotion you're feeling, learn to ask yourself what else, because sometimes the initial is not actually, it's like you said, it's the cover up.
Yeah.
You know, but peeling back the layer helps you to discern that and pay attention to it. You know, something you said real quick that I do want to address it. And it made me think of this. I just read it last week. And I really had no intention of sharing it. But when you said, when I asked you what helped you to keep getting through it, you know, you talked about that stranger that gave you a word of encouragement. And it made me think of Abraham in Hebrews 11. That whole chapter is the chapter where it talks about what faith is, you know? And it basically says, faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. And so the rest of the chapter goes through, you know, by faith, Noah was able to do X, Y, Z. By faith, Abel, you know, was able to bring a tithe that was pleasable to the Lord. You know, by faith, he's going through all these people. And so when it gets to Abraham and it talks about how Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing them, you know, but this is a part I never paid attention to, said who had received God's promises. This is Hebrews 11, verse 17, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Verse 19. This is the part I want to hit on. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. I never paid attention to this, and here's why this is so big and important to me. Abraham was able to reason that if Isaac died, God would bring him back to life because what? The first promise.
He'll be the father of many nations.
Right. Yeah. He said, God said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. I'm going to give you a son in old age. His name is Isaac, and you being the father of many nations, four, is going to take place through Isaac. So what's my point? Abraham wasn't tripping because he had a word from God. Mm-hmm. You had a word from the Lord, babe. So you had a moment, but you went back to it.
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage
people. I was trying to pull Hagar up in this situation. I'm like, Hag, come in here, girl. We're about to make this happen on our own.
But it's that reminder, like, if you're struggling with that, take a moment to take a step back and just ask yourself, like, maybe you need a word from God. Yeah. And what if God has actually given you a word, but you need to hit the pause button? Again, stop, sit in silence, and reflect on what is that promise?
Yeah.
And until you've gotten the promise, don't forget, I love what you said. You said you've experienced too much of the goodness of God to know different. If you don't have a quote-unquote new word from God, well, I'm willing to bet that God has still showed up and showed out in some way. Mm-hmm. You know, as you said this before, we forget we're living in our answered prayers. So don't forget to reflect on not just the goodness of God and his character. Why don't you reflect on his blessings and what he's done? And that's what you did.
Yeah.
Like, so what got you through it is you reflected on the goodness of God and you held on to the word of God, just like Abraham did. It's no wonder he did it with such willingness because he had a word from God.
Yeah.
I mean, just the idea of Abraham reasoning that God can do it. It was like, it makes sense. I mean, God told me these other, he said I was going to be a father of many nations, promise one. He's going to give me a son, promise number two. His name is Isaac, promise number three. And he's going to help me be the father of many nations through Isaac. That's four different promises. So when God goes, sacrifice your son. Abraham's like, okay.
Yeah.
Because he reasoned. Genesis doesn't cover that. But it's just that reminder, man. Keep your faith, not just in the Lord specifically, by remembering the word that he has given you and reflecting on his goodness.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And when you're in grief, it's okay to tell God you're in grief. I mean, look at Job. The man put himself in a potato sack and put ashes all over his body, you know, when he lost it all. And I think, okay, I might be lying, but y'all go fact check me. But I think there's like, what, four chapters of him talking about his grief?
Yeah. Keep talking. I'm going to go ahead and turn on the lights. Keep talking.
Yeah. So if Job, whom the Lord loved, not the disciple the Lord loved, but, you know, if there is Job, you know, that God just blessed with so many things. And in while at it, he was just like, all right, let me just kind of see how you react. And for him to say like, yeah, God, this sucks. But the thing I love about Job is when he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Mm.
And I know when you've walked through enough seasons of life, you do get, like, I never thought I would get to this point. Mm-hmm. You know, I never thought I'd get to this point of like, man, I've seen too much of the goodness of God to not hold on to a promise. But that's where Job was. He's seen the goodness of God so much that he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Yeah.
So.
That's good, babe.
That's all I got.
I love it. I love it. I'll end with this final example. I'm learning to treat insecurities and baggage, mental, emotional, spiritual, kind of like a physical wound.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll quickly give this analogy. I think of like a combat medic or an EMT.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole goal is to stabilize and establish injuries. But they can only do that when the wound is exposed. You know, so let's just say a soldier gets blown up and they're losing an extremity, whether it's a hand or a leg, whatever it is. You have to expose the wound in order for it to be treated. And once the wound is exposed, then what? They move you up to the next level of care. This is when then you get your x-rays, you get your MRIs, right? And then no good surgeon is going to take a knife in their hand, mm-hmm. stab it, and then just rip your gut open.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're going to put you under. They're going to take a scalpel. right? But they know what to do because they've taken X-rays.
They have
a test. Right. They've put you through labs and they've assessed the situation. They've assessed the injury and they put together a plan on how to treat the injury. And then when you're done, depending on the injury, you might need physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might be 2 month recovery. It might be three. It might be a whole year. Right. I mean, I'm an NBA guy. Klay Thompson came off of two catastrophic injuries. He was gone for literally almost 3 years. Well, my point is, we have to treat our insecurities the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're struggling and being healed in something, it's probably because you haven't opened up your wound.
Yeah.
And even more so, if you have, you might be opening up your wound to the wrong person. So if you get hit up on the battlefield and ain't a combat medic, it's probably because you're exposing the wound to the wrong person.
Yeah.
So I would ask you, have you exposed your wound? Have you exposed it to the right person? And if you have, you might need a next level of care.
Yeah.
A combat medic is great, but a smart, wise combat medic will tell you, I can't do surgery, but I can stabilize.
Yeah.
That's their job. You have some people in your life, their job is to help you stabilize.
And it's going to take time.
Correct. You have other people. And guess what? Equally, the doctor, the MD, or the nurse, or the PA, the physician assistant, they also know that they can't do what the combat medic does.
Yeah.
It's a team effort.
Yeah.
Which is a reminder, if you're on the receiving end, know your limits.
Mm-hmm.
Like I serve as a pastor, so I'm not a mental health provider. There are things that I know that I can dip in and have understanding. But once I realize I'm outside my element, I'm connecting them to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's finances, whatever it is. So I have to say, if you're struggling with any type of pain, I would remember it's like a wound. Have you exposed it? If you have you exposed it to the right person? Have you considered that maybe you need another level of care? And just like as smart as these doctors and providers are, their ability to treat you is based off of how open and vulnerable you are about the injury. Because I can sit there and say, oh, it doesn't hurt that bad. I can say it's 60% when really it's 100.
Mm-hmm.
So then is it on them that the wound is not being treated or is it on me?
Yeah.
So I just think of that analogy. It's stuck out with me. And that's something I had to walk through last week. And guess what? I'm still learning to walk through.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's take your time. Take your time.
Well, babe, I
heal
want
properly
to.
And take your time. Yeah.
I knew she was going to bring the yeah. I knew it. I was really waiting for it.
Well,
I want you, if you wouldn't mind, I know we didn't talk about it, but would you mind closing this in prayer? I want to end a little different.
Okie dokie, artichoke.
You go ahead and close this out in prayer. And so actually, if you're listening to this at a faster speed, like I like to, bring it down to a normal pace because we just want to pray over you and just end a little different. So
yeah.
Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every person that's listening to this, Lord God. Lord, first and foremost, thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak to these ears, Lord God. Lord, you know what each and every single person is going through. You know where they're hurting, Lord God. You know there are moments they just want to throw in the towel and walk away from it all, Lord God. But Lord, I just pray that right now that they would just turn their face to you, Lord, that nothing else matters, that you have the best intention in this world for them, Lord God, that you have a plan, you have a purpose for them. Even the pain that they went through that feels redundant, that feels like none of it matters, Lord God. Lord, I know that you can use their pain, Lord God, that you can use the insecurities, that you can use the junk for your glory, Lord God. Lord, I just pray that they would surrender it to you, Lord God, and that they would give themselves the grace just to explore what that looks like, what that feeling is. Lord, and that they would just be open and honest with you at the end of the day, Lord. You know our thoughts. You know every anxious thought. You know every great thought. You know every sinly thought. Not a real word, but you know it, Lord. And We just thank you that through it all, that you have loved us, that you continue to love us, and your invitation has always been come. So Lord, I just pray that we would be brave to take that next step and walk towards you and walk towards our healing, Lord. We thank you and we bless you in your precious name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, babe. Mm-hmm. As always, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. And that concludes this episode, I guess.
Yeah.
So it will end it here. We'll keep playing this for you guys in the background. Again, it's called The Stand by Hillsong. Receive it. We'll leave it as well in the show notes. But until then, have a great rest of your day.
Peace out.
What could I